Hi, my name is Dean Smith, and in this podcast, I want to talk about that day in 1995 when God needed to use super grace.
Welcome to a podcast by OpenTheWord.org, where we discuss a bit of Bible, a bit of life, and a bit of politics.
On September 2nd, 2020, I was surprised to hear about the passing of Duke, spelled D-U-C-H. He was one of the most brutal mass murderers of the past century, and I guess by definition, that makes him one of the most notorious Christians of that era as well. Duke passed away at 77 years of age in the Cambodian Soviet Friendship Hospital. So, who was Duke? A former school teacher, his real name was Kang Kek Lu, and Brother Duke was his revolutionary name when he worked as the chief torturer and executioner for the Khmer Rouge. Led by a man named Pol Pot, the Khmer Rouge were a radical, extreme-left Maoist group that overthrew the Cambodian government and brutally ruled the country for 4 years between 1975 and 1979. As Pol Pot's chief torturer, Duke was fourth in charge in this evil regime. After taking control, Pol Pot emptied the cities, forcing people into an agrarian society where hundreds of thousands of people either died of mass starvation, were mercilessly killed, or simply worked to death. There were mass executions of former government loyalists and intellectuals, including anyone who wore glasses because it meant they could read. Non-Cambodians and religious people, particularly Christians, were also targeted for extermination. Though the Khmer Rouge only ruled for 4 years, it's estimated this radical communist group slaughtered 1.7 million Cambodians. Over 20% of the country's population of 7.5 million people. The regime's motto was simply, to keep you is no benefit, to destroy you is no loss, and they certainly lived by it. They even produced a movie about the Cambodian genocide. It was called The Killing Fields and was named after the fields where the Khmer slaughtered and buried hundreds of thousands of Cambodians. It won 3 Academy Awards. After their ouster in 1979, the Khmer, along with Pol Pot, fled back into the jungles. However, over the next several years, a few Khmer leaders worked their way back into Cambodia's society, with some even taking on governmental positions. This did not include Pol Pot, who was eventually arrested and died in 1998 under mysterious circumstances. For decades following the overthrow of the Khmer in 1979, the international community repeatedly tried to convince the Cambodian government to bring the leaders of the Khmer Rouge to justice. It took 30 years, and the Cambodian government only agreed to the trials after UN assurances it would not investigate several senior Cambodian government officials over their alleged involvement with the Khmer Rouge. When the UN trials started in 2008, the first man to face the international court was Duke. He led the Khmer Rouge's secret police and oversaw its notorious prison camp system used to torture and execute men, women, and children who were considered enemies of the state. Duke commanded S-21, the highest security prison in the regime, where an estimated 14,000 people were imprisoned and executed and buried in what became known as the Killing Fields. Many of the people sent to prison were actually members of the Khmer Rouge, as Pol Pot regularly purged the party of dissidents, real or imagined. During these arrests, whole families, including children, were sent to the camps, and the children were killed with the younger ones often having their heads bashed against trees. They did this to ensure these kids would not seek revenge when they grew up. Using extreme measures of torture, including electrical shocks and waterboarding, S-21 gained confessions for all crimes charged, and only 7 people are known to have survived incarceration at S-21. At other times, truckloads of prisoners were sent to the prison, usually arriving in the evening with orders to kill them the next day. During these executions, guards rarely used guns because bullets were too valuable to waste on prisoners. This was Duke's life as Pol Pot's chief torturer and executioner. After the overthrow of the Khmer in 1979, Duke fled into the jungles, taking on an alias to avoid detection. Though he had briefly escaped government imprisonment, he couldn't escape God. During the Khmer's reign of terror, Christopher LaPelle was living in Cambodia along with his family. His father, mother, sister, and brother were murdered by the Khmer during the purges, forcing Christopher to flee the country. He ended up in a refugee camp in Thailand, where he became a Christian and met his wife. They eventually moved to the U.S., and LaPelle entered the ministry and began traveling to Cambodia, preaching the gospel and holding leadership training seminars. In 1995, while in the village of Shankar Samrong, Christopher met a withdrawn and gaunt man named Hang Pin, who had been encouraged to attend LaPelle's meetings by a friend. Hang made a commitment to Christ and asked to be water baptized. LaPelle said this resulted in a remarkable transformation in Hang. He went from being withdrawn to open and laughing and concerned about how he looked. LaPelle had no idea that his newest disciple was the notorious commander of S-21, Duke. Looking back, LaPelle said the only hint of Hang Pin's dark past came from a comment he made.
"Pastor Christopher, I am a sinner. I don't think my brothers and sisters can forgive me because my sins are so deep."
After his conversion, Hang Pin returned to his village and started the church. He eventually went to work for a non-governmental refugee agency, but still maintained contact with LaPelle and continued preaching the gospel. But 4 years later, British photographer and journalist Nick Dunlop was in Cambodia writing a story on what happened under the Khmer Rouge. Dunlop was drawn to S-21, which had been transformed into a genocide museum where thousands of photos hung of people incarcerated at the prison. He was mesmerized by their desperate and terror-stricken faces. In his article, On the Trail of Pol Pot's Chief Executioner, Dunlop said he obtained a photo of the camp's commander, Duke, thinking it might prove helpful in identifying the former S-21 commander if he ever came across him. In 1999, while on one of his Cambodia tours, Dunlop met Hang Pin in a village in western Cambodia. Convinced he had found Duke, Dunlop returned with another reporter the next week and confronted Hang Pin about his Khmer Rouge connections. After initially deflecting the question, Hang Pin looked at the two men and said,
"It is God's will you are here. I have done very bad things in my life. Now is the time to bear the consequences of my action." Then I thought God was very bad. I did not serve God. I served communism. Feel sorry about the killings and the past.
Dunlop said he had no doubt Duke's commitment to Christ played a role in his confession and arrest. After Dunlop broke the news, Duke went into hiding for a couple days before finally turning himself in to the police. When Christopher LaPelle found out who his disciple was, he personally had to deal with this traumatic information. Not only were his parents and brother and sister killed by the Khmer Rouge, but a cousin even ended up in S-21, where her photo still hangs on the wall. Christopher told Times Asia,
"I was shocked when I found out who he really was, because what he did was so evil. Then I reflected, it's amazing, it's a miracle. Christianity changes people's lives. If Jesus can change Duke, he can change anyone."
Christopher added that he has completely forgiven Duke and holds no bitterness against him. During Duke's trial that started in 2008, the UN tribunal took him to Cambodia's killing fields and a mass grave where bones still littered the ground. They then visited S-21, where four guards from the prison provided testimony, as did Duke, where he fully confessed to his crimes. As they passed a tree that had a plaque stating that this was the tree where guards bashed in the heads of babies, Duke broke down crying. It happened again when the group arrived at a memorial built to remember what happened. It contains the skulls of 8,000 Cambodians killed by the Khmer. Duke, they said, fell to the ground, crying and praying. In September 2009, Christopher was asked to speak at Duke's tribunal war trial. For an hour and a half, he shared about God's power to draw a man like Duke and how God completely forgave Pol Pot's chief torturer. Christopher said you could have heard a pin drop as he shared the remarkable transformation that took place in Duke's life because of the gospel. But Christopher said he did not ask for leniency. In 2009, Duke was sentenced to life imprisonment for crimes against humanity. To date, he is the only major leader of the Khmer Rouge to confess to his crimes. In June 2015, I contacted Christopher LaPelle and asked about Duke, who was incarcerated in a military prison just a few blocks away from S21. In his email, Christopher wrote,
"Yes, I would like to answer your questions regarding Kang Koo Lu or Duke. One of my disciples and one of our leaders serving our Lord Jesus Christ in Northwest Cambodia before he came forward. Yes, he is in jail in Phnom Penh, and he is still preaching and sharing God's word with the people around him."
Duke's conversion is a powerful testament of the complete work of Jesus on the cross. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, Paul said we are justified by faith. The Greek word for justification, dikaiosis, is a legal term. It does not mean to make upright or to infuse with righteousness. It means you were declared not guilty because there's no evidence to condemn you. But could a man as evil as Duke be forgiven? Remember how Duke told Christopher that his sins were deep? Well, the prophet Micah writes that God's forgiveness goes even deeper.
"You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea."
Then the Apostle Paul adds this explanation in Romans chapter 5, verse 20.
"Where sin increased, grace abounded all the more."
The word "more" is the Greek word hyperparesio, and it means superabundant. Simply interpreted, where there is great sin, there will be super grace to cover it. At the moment of salvation, all Duke's acts of brutal torture and senseless murder were transferred onto Jesus, and God no longer has any record of his sin. Though Duke was found guilty of all charges in his earthly trial, he is acquitted of all charges in his heavenly one. And if you are struggling to believe God has forgiven you, understand this: super grace has been dispensed for you as well.
Thanks again for joining us on our podcast. Please check out our website at opentheword.org. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe to receive notifications of future broadcasts. As well, please take a moment to provide a rating and even a review. Thanks again for listening.